I felt like that could have been up higher.
Oh, man, really?
Man, I felt
out of
like
the gate,
was,
chopping the ball.
You dropped the ball. Sorry, long cut. Eli's medium today.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Eli's middle of the road. Welcome to the Day $1.0 podcast. We never do this. We've been talking about doing this, but having just a little shout out as far as like where to find us. If you guys got questions or topics or things that you feel we could help you with, everything on Day $1.0 is literally us. We've talked about our literal Day $1.0. We also talk about all the stories in between up to now, what we're doing now, and how we still approach every day like it's Day $1.0. Fun parts of that is people that come on as guests, we get to hear their literal Day $1.0. It's fun, like we've had Iron Cowboy on, right? Just one of many examples. But what was cool is he got into the business side of it, mm-hmm. as far as like who he is as a brand and some of the logistical issues and some things that they were growing along the way, in addition to what he was doing as an athlete, right? And I think that's super cool. And we've had Dan Cirillo on. We've had my all-time favorite. We all know that. Tosh.
That's right.
Brian Santosh.
Uncle Tosh.
Yep. Yeah, man. Just great dude. And he dabbled in a little bit of business. And I love when he comes on because he's got such good topics. But he also challenges people here, mm-hmm. mentally, right, of like, man, just what that should look like in the first place, which I think is cool because I think he's a great tool to just help figure yourself out before you try to go be a brand and be something else. Like, just figure yourself out and what that stands for in the first place. And if you understand that foundation, wherever you go, wherever you are, you'll be that, right? And I love that kind of stuff. But we also do a ton of real estate. Everyone knows that. You know, myself and Eli, we own a real estate company brokered by eXp and Mile High Property Brothers. We've been doing that for a long time. And we were at Berkshire for a while. Man, we haven't talked about this in a long time.
But it has been,
man,
a little
top
while, bro.
1% in the world, then top 0.5% worldwide for mm-hmm. Berkshire, and broke off and decided to join up with some buddies of ours, Jesse and Jackson over at eXp, and had a great time. We're still having a great time with that. But yeah. Anybody specific to real estate, we also want to open the door for you. Everybody in the entrepreneur world, we definitely want to help. Veterans, super, super want to help. But if there's anybody in that real estate market, you know, if you have questions specific to real estate, or if you're curious about eXp and why we chose to go there and what we're building there, please reach out. Eli's about to tell you our email and where to contact us at. If you just find me on Instagram, Will_Grimes, you'll get a response from me. You might be in my filters if I'm not following you, but I check that several times a day. You'll get a response from me within 24 hours for sure. So if you guys have questions or want to, want to collab, or if you're in that real estate market and there's some things that you want to do and you want to be better or kind of do it how we're doing it, like, hey, great, let's have that conversation. And I apologize for being 2 years into this thing and not saying that to you guys. We've had a lot of questions. I've had a lot on my Instagram after being on Andy Frisella's podcast, yep. from a lot of realtors. We had no idea how many realtors were really following us because we were more on that in the entrepreneur world. Mm-hmm. But, man, I kind of felt bummed that I guess I could have reached out or made it okay and had a call to action for us, other people to reach out to us sooner. And we didn't do that. But we're doing it now. Will_Grimes on Instagram. Hit me up. Let's have a conversation. And outside of real estate, if there's just anything else that you guys need, or if you have topics you want us to talk about, or any ideas as far as guests, hey, cool, man. We're open to all of it. We're also okay to say no if it's not a good fit, but we're okay to say yes and just interact with our community. So, again, appreciate everybody on here and listening. And, man, we've scaled, especially the past 6 months, and that's been a lot of fun. And we've got a lot of cool things coming up this year. But, man, that's about the longest call to action, well, but it's genuine, guys, and I freaking love our audience. I love what you guys do as far as support. I love the shares,
yeah.
and the love on Instagram. Man, it's so humbling. It's so cool. It makes us feel good about what we're doing, but we want to return the favor, hence the call to action. If you need help with anything, let us know. If you're not in real estate, but we have resources that we could maybe connect you with that could help you, hey, great. And if you are in real estate and you want to be better or do more, and you want to collaborate with us, man, please hit us up and let's do so.
Well, dude, and we've talked about this a bunch, man, and for people who haven't really heard this, we just wanted to make a podcast that is something that we would listen to. And, you know, so many people talk about just where they're at and the cool shit that they're doing. And it's rare that you really get to dive into someone's Day $1.0, you know, and a lot of times you'll hear about, you know, on interviews and stuff, how they started a company and everything like that. But what I found is the majority of people that are coming on here, what they say is their Day $1.0 has nothing to do with their company
at all.
You know,
and some of that's how we interview them and how we really try to just dive deep and just find those beginnings.
Yeah. But
of just, man, where it came from.
People get vulnerable on here. And some of the guys like Andy, for example, he opened up to you and said shit to you that I hadn't heard him say on any podcast
about
depression and stuff like that.
And it's not just credit to me. I think I might've asked the right questions. The real credit is Andy is so open and transparent. Mm-hmm. he was cool to take it there. Because I asked him a couple of questions as far as, like, mindset and depression or just not feeling it. But Andy Frisella was a dude that really ran with some of the questions I said, right? Yeah. So, man, it's mildly my credit. It's more credit to just how committed, open, and transparent Andy Frisella is. Mm-hmm. Such a good dude. And Sal Frisella's been on.
Yeah.
Sal, if you're watching right now, which you're probably not, you're probably working. If you're listening or watching, whenever you do listen or watch, I've sent you a couple text messages. We're super excited to see you soon, man. We've got some things in the mix with those guys. But unannounced or announced, I'm coming to see you. Yep, I'm going to be there soon, so
let
me know.
That's how Will rolls, man.
We're excited to see those. But Sal, man, what a cool story he is behind the scenes with Andy and everything that's grown into, and being able to hear his perspective and his angle. And I super enjoy, you know, Sal. It's just different than Andy, both high level, you know, and like some of Sal's delivery and just some of his perspective on how he sees things. Man, really cool. What he's doing in Haiti, I'll let him talk about that. I don't want to put his stuff on blast. Andy and Sal, just good humans.
It is.
Really good dudes, man. Yeah. Really excited to be around those guys.
Yeah, but guys, if it's your first time listening to Day One Dollar Zero, we're on YouTube, we're on Facebook. We do upload these live. And again, this is just a place to be vulnerable. You know, like, again, your Day One Dollar Zero, it's not about all your accomplishments and all the cool shit that, you know, cool shit that you've done. But it's about, man, like, just where'd you get started and what was that like? Because I think most of the people that are listening to this podcast are in that grind phase. And here's the thing, there's a certain level of disconnect once you're at that Grant Cardone level, that Gary Vee level. And with Will and I, you know, we've done some really cool shit. We've had some really good accomplishments, especially in real estate, but man, we're still on the grind. You know, we're still very, very much growing.
We're still beating down doors and being value adds and just at that level of scalability and really want to bring more, but man, we're still more than in it.
Yeah. And if you guys are watching this on Facebook or YouTube, you may notice some different curtains behind me, a different set behind Will.
If you look behind me, we've got a new set. So we built out the basement of an old bank. Really cool. It's an undisclosed location. We're not going to tell you where it's at unless you're invited to the podcast. We're going to keep it that way for reasons. I'll have some artwork behind me soon, so that'll be really cool. So we've got a couple of things that are still getting moved in. We've got a great lounge area, cool entertainment center, some phenomenal furniture that's like luxury but comfortable.
For those of you that don't know, Will's got a great eye for design. I might say so myself.
Hey, straight eye for the straight guy. Straight eye for the great guy.
There you go. I like that.
Eye for the guy. How about that? Because I don't care what you are. It's all, hey, we're all love here, man. So maybe it's just eye for the guy.
I like it.
But yeah, man, super stoked. It's a really cool set. There'll be some artwork. We got a couple of special pieces to me that are coming in. It'll be behind me. We've got a couple others that'll be hung and super excited. So a couple more things have to come in here. But the lounge is set up for the most part, and our offices are cool. But yeah, only thing I can think of not cool right now before we get going is.
Oh, shit. What do we got there?
It's only not. Well, and I'm not a coffee guy, but I do like it on my skin. If you haven't exfoliated with coffee before, you're missing out. But Connor Warman, really, dude, first and foremost, Connor's just a great dude.
Here, hold that up a little bit.
I got to give it. Yeah.
There we go.
Connor, what's up, man? Connor's not a sponsor of the show, nothing like that, but he's a super good dude, man. He's he did a diesel day with us, which is the events Brian Shontosh puts in. It's a 24-hour physical endurance, continuous, so it's a nonstop physical endurance challenge, and really cool what he does with that, and I'm going to leave it there because I'd much rather, and we're going to have Tosh back on soon when he gets back to town, so I would much rather talk about that when he gets to articulate his events and speak to it for himself versus me not it, you know, living up to what it really is. It's got to come from his mouth. But anyway, it's a 24-hour nonstop endurance. It's really cool. It's as far as I'm going with it. But we met Connor there, originally from Chicago. And, you know, he's in a CrossFit and does some cool stuff. But
he's got a podcast as well, right?
He does. He's got a podcast called Up Before You. I'm like, yeah, fuck you, bro. No one cares. You're up before me. I got kids. I don't want to hear it. But no, it's cool. And super into fitness. But now he's starting to get into like the endurance side of fitness. And he's wanting to build his brand as well. And he helps other people with their podcast. And he's doing his own and want to start building a brand. He started with a coffee. And then he just came up and, hey, what do you guys think? And I'm like, yeah, dude, we'll give you a shot. I was like, look, man. He's like, we're texting. And he's like, yeah, give me a shot. I was like, hey, listen, man, I'm not a coffee guy. I'm not going to drink it. But If you give me the bags, dude, I'll exfoliate with it. And he was like, first of all, I fuck with him too much. That's the problem. And he's like, what? And I was like, yeah, dude, you've never used coffee scrub? And he's like, what? No. And I was like, listen, you're young, you're good looking. I don't know if you're the best CrossFitter. I don't know if you're going to make it there. But you can make it with your looks. I think you start some skincare.
That's right.
For athletes, because makeup and skincare is going to be more than a thing for men moving forward. Not that I'm saying it's for me, maybe, maybe not. But it's a thing. It's there. Busting his balls. Eli was going to try on air, but he doesn't do the little Keurig
things. Yeah, Connor, where the fuck's your K-cups, bro?
So Connor's like a real coffee guy. It's got to be in the bag where you can smell it. You got to pour it, stir it. Like these guys don't have jobs. They got all day to make coffee, but no, man.
Connor, come out with a K-cup. Make it biodegradable so I'm keeping the environment safe.
Yep.
I'm all over it.
But it smells great. Our office smells great. No, tastes good. It's cool. Up before you. More importantly than the coffee, if you want to show support to Connor, go listen to his podcast. Good kid, doing a lot of great things. We just love supporting folks that we know that we back. We back him as people. You know, we've got some other folks coming on soon, you know, that are going to be some sponsorships and things like that. But it's because we back him as people. We just love who they are as humans. Love Connor. Super, super cool human. And the one I got here, Up Before You Coffee, right? Cool. Light roast, citrus, milk, chocolate, and cream. If I were a coffee guy,
that might be it.
The cream feels good on my skin.
Yeah.
It was real good. But no,
I like how you use that to exfoliate. That's like using like a really fancy wine to like cook with.
To be clear, I don't go straight to the coffee and exfoliate with this. There's coffee scrub you can buy that's made for your face. So I don't know if it's safe to go rubbing this on your face.
Probably.
I might try. Maybe my hips or something at first just to see if the caffeine seeps in. And
exfoliate that ass.
Shout out to Connor, man. We super dig that guy. Maybe he'll be back on soon as well. He was a part of the Dan Bailey podcast. We had Dan Bailey on. Connor was hanging out, asked a couple of questions and interrupted as best as he could. But good kid. And again, man, it's been a lot of fun scaling and the people that we started meeting. And it's just fun to just give shout outs and support. Just good people that we think are doing good things. Really cool. But with that being said, we're going to get right into the topic of discussion today. It's Eli, so bear with us. But Eli had a good topic today. I said, hey, let's run with it. He didn't quite entirely articulate it to me, but we like that. We like having food for thought and just having thought process develop while we're on camera and just working through it. And as you guys are listening, you know, we're processing it as you guys are processing it. And I think it's fun to not only have a topic, but to show some of the thought process. But with that being said, man, you've got a good topic today. I'm excited to talk about it. And let's roll with it, man.
Yeah, so I'll kind of give a brief synopsis as far as where my thought process was and then let Will kind of run with that.
No.
Because I'm curious his
thoughts.
Don't
go falling back on me.
Well, I'm genuinely curious your thoughts. So, man, just a little context, guys. So, you know, Will and I are both really big. We're bigger hippies than we come off, for sure. And by hippies, I mean just looking at a little bit deeper as far as surface level with things. And more importantly than looking deeper than surface level, feeling deeper than surface level. So with this, you know, Will and I are really big on just being in tune to things. So whether that's being on the same vibration or wavelength might be another phrase that you've heard that referred to. We just call it being in tune with ourselves and our surroundings and the hippiest term of all, the universe. But what does that look like? A lot of times, guys, just being in tune can mean that the universe is going to give you a little inch or a little opening. And if you're in tune with yourself and your surroundings, you're going to feel that and you're going to be able to capitalize on it when the time is right. If you are not in tune, if you're too distracted by other things.
Or too focused on the wrong thing. Focused.
Yeah.
Even if it's the right thing. Yeah. Maybe it's a moderately right thing, but you're overly focused.
I'm glad you said that. Yeah. But rather, guys, if you're not in tune, if you're not flexible and malleable, if you're not open to seeing these opportunities because maybe you do have too much tunnel vision. And man, I'm glad you brought that up because I feel like a ton of entrepreneurs, myself included, for a long, long time, you get too into that entrepreneur tunnel of just books and self-development, and it's not analysis by paralysis because you're taking action, you're doing shit, but you're just so tunnel vision, you don't see the surroundings, you know, and it's like
or you just never get off the damn bench. I don't know.
Or you never get off the bench.
You're like reading books and things. It's
but in a lot of people's cases, like for example, like I was, you know, really into self-development, reading books and shit, but I was also taking action, right? Also doing shit. But I feel like for a long time, I did have too much of that tunnel vision that you had mentioned. And it's like, I had this path in my head that I was so focused on that I was missing other opportunities.
So just to give some context to that, right? Like there's an example that I use that I've talked to you about. And it's being a sailboat, not a motorboat. So like you've got like a boat with an engine and it's like, man, I'm going to go from here to here. and it's a straight shot, it's a straight line, you're going to motor through that. Like, hey, even if that destination is desirable and there's some benefits there along that trip, right? Like, you could be missing a lot of opportunity because it's tunnel visioned, it's straight, versus like a sailboat. You might have an objective life of like where you want to be, business, whatever it may be, but you kind of have to sail the storms and the winds. It's not always a straight line. You've really got to navigate with the momentum and some of the weather and the winds. And I feel like we've got goals with, like, when we had a podcast, we had goals with our business, but it was never like a certain dollar amount specific. It was like there was an ideology behind who we wanted to be and how we wanted to represent clients, and that scaled. And it's being, you know what I mean? And like, it's just being focused on the right things. But like, for example, let's just use a couple of good buddies. One I've known for a long time. One is a newer relationship, Dan Cirillo, right? But let's use that for a moment. You and I were more than into real estate at that point when we met Dan. We were already top 1% in real estate. And I remember the email because, so Dan Cirillo is an owner for Spartan 7 Adventures and Spartan 7 Security. So he does a lot of elite security. One of the most famous unknown guys you'll never meet. I won't even shout out who he does security for. One of them might be a podcast celebrity, maybe the biggest podcast celebrity ever. We'll leave it at that. Take that how you want. Maybe he runs that dude's security. I digress. We went to an event with him as a guest, remember?
Yep.
Tosh was like, hey, guys, got an opportunity for you. Would love to have you come. Hey, great. So we go and meet those guys. And fast forward with both of those guys. So these adventures is like for like elite executives and just business folks and just folks that have never been not only exposed to military, but special operations command. Well, Dan runs some adventures with that, and he takes you out to super top secret tier one security facilities or shooting facilities that are not open to the public. This is not some crap you see Keanu Reeves do on Instagram where there's 100 targets right in front of you and you're just pulling trigger and it's mildly interesting, right? These are some ranges where like, dude, it might take you 30 minutes to get to some of the ranges. You were on some of those ranges. It's the real deal.
Yep.
It's like Mexico City, cars everywhere, shooting in and out and above cars, and you're learning
super cool
basic shit. Fundamentals and tactics, and but you're also learning how it applies to life, and the overall experience is phenomenal, right? It's a great thing. Mm-hmm. Well, fast forwarding, right? Like, I'm an instructor with Spartan 7, right? Like, And it's not just because of my accolades behind shooting. It was Dan wants certain people that mingle with the public well, that are successful in business, that have more texture to them outside of just being a trigger puller, right? There's a lot there, but that door doesn't open if we aren't a value add and we don't do things for Tosh, you know. And just, he thought it was cool bringing us, and then, you know, Dan and Derek had a good conversation with us, and it was me kind of taking the ball rolling. I'm like, yeah, hey, I know you guys want to do some things together. How can I, what can I start on? How can I be available? How can I be a value? Well, yeah, man, we might meet in the next couple of weeks, and we're looking at chalking up the next year to come. Cool. Where are you guys meeting? Vegas. Hey, that's where Derek works. He's a CEO of a hospital. He's another instructor / a co-owner for Spartan 7. Yeah, so he's really busy, so we're going to meet out there. And Dan works with him as well. So, hey, we're going to be out there anyway. Cool. See you guys in Vegas. So I flew to Vegas. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's sit down. Let's talk. So we sat down for an hour or two, and I had some dinner with Dan. But then we sat down and talked business on just what the priorities were right now and where could I be of a value add, right? But it was taking that opportunity when they said, yeah, we'd love to have you guys be around and do more. And we know you guys are successful in real estate. And maybe there's some things in that network that maybe we could do together and expose more people to Spartan 7. Great, yeah, because I think the more people that get around this, the better, right? And if you're listening right now and you're curious about those adventures, hit me up on Instagram and let's have a conversation. But the point was, you know, they opened that door and they were okay with it. Cool. So first thing I did, and this is super important for relationships, I talked to Tosh. I said, hey, man, you know, like your boys reached out. We had a great conversation. Man, I'm excited about that. What are your thoughts? Do you feel like there's a value add for us being involved in that? And he's like, yeah, absolutely, man. You're a stud. And I don't think he said stud. I'm elaborating there. I think he said I'm good to go. He won't give me that. But no, man, he's awesome. And I cleared it with him. But they were meeting in Vegas. So I flew to Vegas. Hey, how can I be a value add?
Yeah.
Right. And then let's rewind a little bit. When we were just before that, we did Diesel Day with Tosh. Well, we met two people there that happened to be buying homes. Right, we've got a gentleman in CrossFit that's moving out here soon, and they might rent for a bit, and then they're going to be buying a home. But we've taken him out, and then there's been a couple of other folks that we've met because of Brian, Tosh, that are buying homes. So, like, man, just being a value add and trying to bring value to Tosh, and hey, here's what we do in business. If there's anything we can do to help, cool. But then we've tried to do our best to put his nonprofit on the map in our own way, of where how we raised money, but it was benefiting people going through a 75 hard challenge. But then, you know, like, we raised money during 75 Hard to put toward Big Fish because that helps veterans. And it's like, we did that not for any accolade. Man, we want to build value for Tosh. And like, I'll, you know, and it's just, for me, it's the responsibility behind the friendships and relationships that we have. I'm not in it for what they're going to give me. If I'm choosing to be around you, man, I know there's value I'm going to get from you, for whether it's being a father, a business owner, just things that you do. And I would love to be around you. If I'm choosing to be around you, if I'm asking to be around you, I would love to be around you, but I know that getting around you is one, I got to be a value add. I can't just come take your time and you're going to pour into me and you're now my mentor and all that other like modern bullshit. If everybody's thinking they need a mentor, but you're not doing anything to earn it. Mentors just kind of grow organically in my mind. Like you just have a connection with someone and over time and respect and history, like it just grows. But I've always tried to be that value add for folks. But the responsibility I have behind the relationships we have and knowing what I want to be for them, it limits my circle, which I like, because you don't have time for everybody.
No.
So if you're choosing that, right, like there's some things there. But, dude, that was, dude, a diesel day brought us two real estate deals.
And here's right? where.
I think, like, how indirect is that? But also completely. Brought us another relationship who we're doing some business with and helping and being a value. But, man, they're extraordinary. Like, Tosh, I couldn't put a price on that guy.
No. But here's what people need to realize. You're in tune with him. You are so good. You're so in tune with yourself that when other people who are on that same wavelength that are also in tune with, the, like, you're, I hate even using this fucking word, but I'm going to, your vibrations just match up. Mm-hmm. And it's like you guys are on the same fucking radio station.
I think what he's saying is, Tosh, you're my vibrator.
It's your frequency, man.
No, but it's, you also have to realize, we still built a business. You and I still commit to work. Like, we're not out there just searching for relationships and then,
no.
What can we do to, like, do something for them so they do something for us? Like, that's not
you
it at all.
You wouldn't be in tune.
We just are around good dudes. I've known Tosh since, like, 2009. Long time. Division schools. And he's just a great guy. And I chose to want to continue a relationship. And it wasn't unsolicited. It was appropriate. But I do love building value for them. But, you know, but it's the depth, guys. It's not the width of, like, needing to know everybody. Knowing someone who knows someone who knows someone who knows someone. Like, I've met so many people through Tosh organically because he felt like it was good for me to meet them, that the opportunities just organically grew, you know? And, like, it's so cool, but you definitely have to be putting others first and make sure that you're committed to the responsibility behind being someone's friend, being someone's brother, just having a relationship with someone. Like, you know, I just bounce back to Taco, to Dan, right? We call him Taco, and... First and foremost, it's always like, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? You know, it's not what I can get from him, or it's okay. I want to make sure that whatever he's got for my plate or whatever we're doing, like, I want to make sure that I'm adhering to that, knowing that I've put myself around the right people. And I trust that, hey, if there's value they can bring to me, they're going to do so. You know, and like, just think about the Spartan 7 Adventures, for example, right? I don't need a thing from that. The fact that we can expose our network to it and bring people that we know to those events to experience what that is. That's enough right there.
Yeah, it
you're
is.
Gifting something to yep. someone that is so cool. The people that they get to meet, it's extraordinary. That by itself is enough. And like, dude, that makes us feel so good in our network that we get to offer that to our people versus I'm not going there looking for something to take back home. I'm bringing as much as I can, you know, to give the experience of that. And the same thing with Tosh, man. We've invited folks to some of his diesel days. That's not a pat on my back. That's an easy sell. It's so incredible to have access to him, experience him, go through a diesel day like that and challenge yourself, the reward somebody can take home from that, that's not a hard sell.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, let me go a step further. It's not a sell. Like I'm excited and eager to expose people to those things because I think you need it. I think everyone needs that. And who am I to keep that to myself? You know, like, no, man, I want to expose those things. And the fact that the flip side is it helps everyone in business because, yeah, people still run businesses and you got to be profitable and make money. But it's making money the right way through relationships and word of mouth and the value up front. It's great, but it's sailing that boat, man. Like some of the biggest things we've ever done, you know, it came from relationships. It didn't come from me being on a motorboat thinking, okay, I got to do 200 real estate deals this year. So I'm doing 200 real estate deals this year. Okay, boom. And then I'm on this motorboat and I'm flying toward that. Like, okay, reverse engineer that, right? Like how many calls am I making? How many emails am I making? How many doors am I knocking? How many Facebook posts am I posting? And it was like, okay, because all that, okay, if I hit 150 last year, okay, I'm doing 200 this year. Okay, well, do the math. What does that look like? And then I'm just doing that.
Yeah.
I'm doing that so much. I don't even have time for relationships because I'm too busy cold calling and door knocking, looking for who's got something for me.
Yep.
Versus like, hey man, let's be professionals and subject matter experts and great at an experience and take care of people. And they will talk. And dude, we've had so many referrals. We average 2 to 3 referrals per person we help. Mm-hmm. And then that ideology went to, okay, how can we scale that? Well, we went into YouTube. Now we've got just about 3,500 subscribers on YouTube, specifically geared toward people moving to Colorado. We can't even keep up with the people that are coming from that page. But it all derived from, we want to help more people. We are professionals. We're great at what we do. We have integrity with saying that we can handle what people need. We put it on a platform where people could access that more. And boom, and by doing that, like, oh, well, hey, cool. Now we're teaching other people to do that. And the guys that created that taught us in the first place. Shout out to Jesse and Jackson, right? Mm-hmm. They saw what we were doing on social media. Jackson was on our podcast. We decided to link up and build, and it was relationships. But if we were so in tune with just doing 200 deals, we never would have left Berkshire. We never would have saw the opportunity with Jackson. We never would have built YouTube. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, we wouldn't be helping more people.
Yep.
But it's just the ebb and flow, and yep. It's that sailboat of like, hey, I know where I want to be. Do I like doing 200 deals a year in real estate? Absolutely. But does it have to be my deals, or can it be people on my team? Mm-hmm. Can it be, hey, does it have to be cold calling and just motivating, or could it be through social media platforms mm-hmm. and letting people reach out to me versus me calling them? Ooh, interesting. These are all sunny skies and cloudy days that you're sailing through. And before you know it, man, like, not only do you get where you want to go, you're so much further, mm-hmm. you know, like, so there's just, and I know I'm kind of like going on a tangent here, but, and
no,
I'm we're not a tangent, but I'm being a little indirect, but it was navigating those waters and feeling where there's momentum. And you have to have some self-awareness to trust. Like for me, dude, I can dive down a relationship knowing if it's not healthy, I can pull out. Mm-hmm. We've had to fire clients before. We've taken on clients that we knew were a little shaky when we first started, but because we were never in it for the paycheck, we gave that friend/associate acquaintance an opportunity where we were going to sell a couple properties for him. And bottom line was like, he's just not in a good place in life and was starting to kick people out of his properties and wanted us to go change locks. And it's like, hey, dude,
nope.
Evictions are different. And the second I change a lock on someone when they haven't legally been evicted, like, dude, I can't do that. Right. Like it put us in a bad situation, but it didn't. Because we weren't in it for the money, we weren't chasing the paychecks on selling those properties, we were in it for having integrity, doing the right thing all the time. Like, it was just easy to say, hey, man, we're just not the best fit for you. We had to walk away from that. But sometimes if you don't trust or have enough self-awareness, and if you aren't tied, if you aren't vetted with your goals or with who and why and what you want to be and how you want to represent yourself, you might chase a dollar, and chasing a dollar is dangerous. So you really have to be vetted, because exploring relationships, I think sometimes people have learned that, but then somebody's talking like some MLM yep. or some other shit or this or that, like these little hustles, like they start talking money to you. Before you know it, you don't realize that you're just their little gerbil.
Yep.
And you're so keen on this money you're about to make that you just, your integrity and your self-worth and certain things are just subconsciously like mm-hmm. just thrown out the window. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, you're down this rabbit hole, not around good people, doing sketchy shit, and it's not good. Like, this is why your self-awareness and your creed, your integrity, like who you want to be and like what you represent, what you stand for needs to be established. That's your sailboat. Mm-hmm. Way before you go out and start sailing, like your sailboat, your foundation is that. Otherwise, like when these money talks or certain things pop up, man, it's dangerous. And it's not like we haven't had those conversations. Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, we just to throw a shout out, we had a conversation yesterday with some gentlemen we're looking at doing some projects with. Big, big. But do you know what was bigger? The entire conversation was about making people better.
Yeah.
It wasn't about the money we're making on the courses.
Money was an afterthought.
It wasn't about the money wasn't even discussed. At all.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, that person said we can have more ownership than we were willing to give them, right? Like, wow.
And that was the extent of the money conversation.
That was the extent.
Yeah.
The entire thing was like the framework and the technology and the execution behind making people better.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, you guys are valued at what? $2.5 billion? Mm-hmm. And that's your conversation. It was like, hey, I fuck with that. Like, I just want to be around that. And it was so refreshing. But for you guys that are listening, like, I bet you've explored relationships, especially with social media nowadays. Like, man, you're one message away from mm-hmm. someone responding to you.
Yeah.
But it's so important to have your values and what you stand for. And for Elon, no shit, I promise you, it was about being professional, managing people's emotions, advising at the highest level possible, and executing a high-level real estate transaction, creating as frictionless as possible a streamlined high-level transaction for buyers and sellers. Mm-hmm. That caused more conversation than people think. As much as there's social media and paid ads out there, I'm not against them. Word of mouth is still a thing. It's almost like there's so much sales out there, word of mouth is valued more nowadays.
That's the rarity. Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
If someone vouches for you, it's like a big deal. And that's where it started, and that's where it's going to finish. Yeah. It has to. So as you guys are out there navigating some of this and you're starting to see where relationships can come from, you always got to be a value add. You got to explore some of those relationships, but you got to make sure they're in line with what you represent and you're not just someone's pawn.
Yeah. Right? Question for you that I think might be in some people's minds. When you talk about going from that, because so many people are a motorboat right now, and maybe you guys didn't even realize you're a motorboat.
You motorboat son of a bitch. Everyone right now listening is like, you motorboat son of a bitch.
What's that from?
Wedding Crashers.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Did you motorboat? I'm like, you're sick.
So what I think a lot of people are, because this is what I would be thinking. We're a motorboat, right? And you have your systems, and like every real estate coach, every business coach teaches you, and marketing in general for that matter, the whole reverse engineer thing that you just laid out. It can be really scary for people mm-hmm. to be in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and turn off that fucking motorboat and pop up a sail and be sure. like, okay. So, well, and that takes,
hold on a minute.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why are you starting a sail in the middle of the fucking ocean? You should be starting on shore.
Yeah. Good point.
Like how the hell do you get out? You don't get, you're one or the other. You don't get a motorboat out in the middle of nowhere and then like, I'm just going to.
So a lot of people are there. A lot of people are literally on their fucking motorboat. They've been doing their business like this. They're spinning their wheels, getting nowhere, or you're getting some results, but not what you had expected.
You're going to start over. You got to take a step back.
Okay. Yeah.
Turn your motor around, get back to shore, reevaluate who you are, what you want to stand for, mm-hmm. how and why and what you want to do. And then you go venture back out. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. you got to start over, man. You got to mm-hmm. take a step back. Guess what? Let me tell you where that start. Like, let's just give an example.
Yeah.
I slept in a fucking pantry. It was a Y2K pantry with distilled water and Fig Newtons. I told you about this, right?
That was you going back to shore.
Yeah, dude, I had already done the military. I'd already done the government stuff. I was already a cop, right? Like, cool, right? And then, hey, I'm number two in a startup fitness company that had grown 14 franchises in 2 years, or just under 14 in 2 years. We had the money for it. I don't know if they ever opened. I left before I knew, but we went from like 2 to 14 stores in 2 years, right? But like, I was ready for my own thing. That thing was a motorboat. There was a model. It was what it was. It was going to be what it was. And the owner of that company, like, hey, good dude. No bad blood between him and I. And matter of fact, dude, when I was leaving that company, he goes, Will, I just think you're ready for more, man. Like, I think you're ready for your thing. Mm-hmm. So cool that he was cool to say that.
Yeah.
And that we're still friends to this day. And he's doing his thing. And I'm doing my thing. And he's out. I think he's doing like a hunting show and some other stuff in addition to the fitness stores. And he's being him, you know. And I think he was right. Man, it was time. You know, mm-hmm. and I think, well, yeah. Kind of solidifies it because of where we're at now. Cool, right? But it's like hearing my friend who I looked up to, who was owner of the company, give me permission to have my own thing. Man, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool that he did that, right? So, but I had to start over. Like, I was out in the middle of the ocean. I had expensive cars, big old truck.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
It's okay.
Great answer. Yeah.
But hey, you're going out on your own, right?
It's a great answer.
No income. No, like, I'm not getting paid from that company anymore. I'm gone. Mm-hmm. No income. How are you going to pay all this stuff? Right? So, hey, dude, sold my cars, sold my truck, sold off everything, and I moved to my buddy's mom's Y2K pantry, mm-hmm. right? She's a really cool lady, retired cop for the same department I was a cop at. We got a vibe. She's like my second mom. Some of the conversations her and I had, I needed them. I needed to just kind of go back to shore and, like, have Mama Bear talk to me a little bit and mm-hmm. reminisce on old times and just reflect on, because going back to her house, dude, I grew up in that house in high school, right? It was like, love my mom. There's no, so just for the record, there's nothing wrong with my mom and my dad. She was just my second mom. It was my best friend's mom, sure. right? So I'm over there all the time. And just going back, it kind of forced me to just reflect on my entire life since that house, because I was literally that house I used to stay the night in all the time, mm-hmm. you know, and like, man, going back there and, you know, like my buddy was staying there. He had his kids there. So it was cool. I got to see my best friend. One of my best friends again. You're my best friend. So got to see my lifelong
about to say
best friend
yeah.
and his kiddos and see what he's doing with his life. And I'm hanging out with his mom and it forced me to just reflect on a lot and who I was and what I was trying to be. And of course I was scared, man. I had to go back to school and get licensed and I hadn't studied in so long and whatever that came. But that was me going back to shore, dude. Mm-hmm. Like I couldn't just have the momentum, right? Because if you're going to choose to sail, that motor is gone.
Yeah.
Correct. So, you know, you don't have that motor. So whatever I did on there, like got me where I was at, I had to start over. So that was me going back to shore and just reevaluating. But it was important. Like, so I'm 2 weeks into real estate. We find out we're pregnant. Mm-hmm. You know, like you were around just about right after that. Yeah, right. So, and you were pregnant, mm-hmm. like your wife, not you. You and I get food babies every once in a while. That's about it. But
yeah, we do.
You know, like from that moment, it wasn't about like how many sales. It was like, oh crap. Like, not only are we pregnant, then I found out we're having a son. It was like, what is that little dude going to think of me, man? Like, who the fuck am I? What's my son going to say about his daddy? That's, dude, literally. And it forced me back into like, okay, I don't have that motor anymore. I had to come back to shore. But I did have a lot of skill set from being out in the ocean. Even though it was a motorboat and whatever, you can't erase the experiences. So I go back to shore and I start over. But I started learning how, man, I don't need to fit real estate. Real estate is going to fit me. What about me is so great with managing clients' emotions and thinking 10 steps ahead and, you know, and like being a cop and how, man, all you do is manage people's emotions and help them through not good situations as a police officer, right? Man, that fits real estate in like you see it as well. All we are is emotion managers and advisors and helping people navigate the unknown, man. Like it fits so well. It wasn't my experience in commercial real estate and these in these fitness stores. It was my ability to advise and manage humans and keep my demeanor and my level of emotion down in order to represent people well. Mm-hmm. I had that ability. All I had to make sure I became was be really good at real estate because you know how to do this.
Yeah.
But you can't be this and be honest if you don't know how to do your damn job. And I put them together and I made real estate fit me. And that's what we've been teaching to our agents around us, man. It's like, hey, all you moms out there, all you other, you know, folks that come from all walks of life, there are skill sets you have that even though you're starting over, you got to use them to your advantage and learn how to fit an industry to you, not you just fitting into an industry. And if it doesn't fit you, that's okay too. Not saying you got to be real estate, not saying you got to be fitness, not saying you have to be anything, but you do have to realize and have some self pride and respect. What do you have? And if you're young out there and you don't have those things, that's okay. Just realize you're a sponge. You're a freaking sponge right now. Get out there and go dive in. And what you should be focused on is absorbing content, just like a sponge absorbs water, right? And your level of effort and capacity to learn and commit to whatever you're doing. Stop changing your mind 12 times. If you're going to military, do that and learn that and soak up that. If you're doing college, if you're doing something else, be a sponge and make sure that your level of effort and your capacity to absorb and execute what you're learning is there, and you're going to be in a great spot.
Yeah. Let me backtrack just a little bit, staying with that sailboat analogy.
Okay.
Going back to that pantry, that was you coming back to shore, right? You're like, shit, let me get my bearings. Let me go back to where I know everything's okay, right? Yep. You're getting your feet on shore.
Well, I didn't know everything was okay, but I knew I wouldn't have any excuses there.
Yeah, you're not getting bit by a fucking shark sitting on the sand on shore. You're like, and then I feel like when you're talking about your son and hearing about that, I feel like you're sitting on shore and you got your fucking sail up, but you're not going anywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then that call about your son or that conversation with your wife about your son, I feel like that was the first little like gust of wind that came by and started moving that boat. And you're like, oh shit. Like, okay, this is going here. And then, but then after that.
Well, no.
Okay.
It was when I found out I was a boy.
Yeah. Okay.
Nothing against my daughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love my daughter, and she is what she is to me for what she is, you know. I'm like, but a son, of course it's different, and it's okay that it's different. It's not different levels of love. It's just a different dynamic. Yeah. But the day we found out we were pregnant with my son is also the day we found out a Marine passed away. Mm-hmm. That day knocked the wind out of me, you know, and not because I'm a victim. You know, like I felt bad for his closer friends, you know, because I'd known that guy for a bit. But I knew him through some good friends, through one of my best friends, Manny. And they did business with him. They had grew up in the Marine Corps, that guy. So I only know, you know, my pain was I'm 2 weeks into real estate. I'm wearing this tie that ain't mine. Yeah. Driving a car that's my mom's, not mine. And I hear about that, you know, and I was like in this moment of like almost feeling bad for myself.
Yeah, your sails are empty. You got nothing in there.
Yeah, and I'm like bitching at why there's no wind for the sake of the conversation, right? But then like I hear about that and it was like, what am I doing? First and foremost, what am I doing? I'm in this car that's not mine. I'm wearing this tie. Not a stupid tie. It ain't me, so it's stupid for me. But then it quickly flipped to like, hey, no. What are you doing? Because right now, like, you've got a lot of opportunity in front of you. This is not the time to be complaining when you're still here, dude.
Right.
So right when I felt that, I still go to work, you know, because I found out about that midday. Then I go to work. This is the same day my mom signed for a car because I had no income. So my mom signs for a car so I can just have a car to drive to work. My mom's my number one fan, and she's never bet against me. Bless her, man. I'll work myself to the bone to make her proud. So I'm driving. So I get that car. I'm starting to drive back to work. That's when I find out and I get that call. But I quickly check myself, and I decide to continue to go back to work. I work for a couple more hours, get some things done. I'm on my way home. And when I get home, that's when I found out. And that just, it was just a whirlwind. It was like so much like momentum this way and trying to motivate myself, yet understand like what just happened. Man, and then boom, we're pregnant. It was like, whoa. And it just, dude, knocked the wind out of me. You know, I just needed a moment. And the support I got from Kate was that was okay. She knew, and she didn't have this predetermined expectation of how I was supposed to react.
Right.
She was okay with whatever I was going to be. She just wanted to let me know. And she's like, are you okay? I was like, of course I'm okay. And of course I'm happy. I just a little numb. But thinking that was important, man. And then I kept my head down, kept my head moving forward. We found out it was a boy. And that was where I felt like just prior to that, because you don't really find the sex of the baby until like week 8 or 9, right? Yeah. So she ended up being like 2 or 3 weeks pregnant by when we found out. She got the test and we went into the doctor, and she was about, I think, 2 or maybe 3 weeks, right? Then by week 9, we found out. So in between week 3 and week 9, I felt like there was some wind, but I was kind of going in circles, like some wind's picking up, but like no real direction. But then once we found out it was a boy, man, that really, for some reason, you know, it just, that really channeled me. And it was like, what's my son, you know, going to think about me? And like, it forced me to think about who I was in the Marine Corps and who I was here, who I was there. And I was like, oh, like, and I was like, I felt like I had no direction because I almost forgot who I was trying to chase who I wanted to be. Does that make sense?
You're trying to motorboat it.
Right? And it was like, I'm in this new career, and like, everyone's done it and it's okay. But when you go into like a new career or a new endeavor, you're trying to fit in because you think that's the thing to do. I was putting on the tie. I was doing the cold calls. I was going into the work. I had a briefcase, right? Broke as fuck, on the verge of bankruptcy. Like, well, if I'm going to file for bankruptcy, might as well go get me a couple watches and a suit to fucking wear, right? Yeah, like, all right, hey, thanks, US, right? Like, fuck me, man. Like, but you're trying to fit in because I think that's part of a human trying to be a chameleon and fit in. And that's just part of like a survival instinct that we have. We try to fit into that, you know? But as I was, man, and having a son, it was like, man, I started reflecting so much, like, what's this little boy going to think of me and say about his dad as he grows up? And that was like, oh, I'm a Marine, I'm this. And then it clicked. Oh, I still am those things. Mm-hmm. And that's when I put the badge back on. That's when I put the Eagle Globe and Anchor back on. That's when I put my pride of like, hey, man, you forgot you have an identity because you took the uniform off or because you decided to leave the Marine Corps or leave the police world. All of a sudden, it's like you take that badge. And, those uniforms are so physical every day, putting body armor every day, saying I might get shot up doing my job. Like, it's very present. You're a cop. Yeah. It's very present. You're a Marine when you're putting your camis on. I didn't have that anymore. Reflecting on my son put me into this mode of like, no, you don't put a badge on anymore. You're right. But hey, dude, that fucking badge is ingrained in you. Mm-hmm. No, you are that, man. Like, and that's when I started going, hey, however this is going to work out, I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to listen. I'm going to learn. I'm going to apply myself the best that I can and go back into that sponge phase while still maintaining the tools that I have. I don't care if I do one fucking deal or 1,000, man, I'm going to do it with integrity, with what I'm built from. So no matter what, my son's proud of me, period. Mm-hmm. And like, what I didn't realize was I was creating a culture and a foundation and expectations that were a big gap in the real estate world.
Huge.
And we created that, man. Like, obviously, I don't want to take the entire show because, man, there's a lot. There's a huge, huge piece that you are that fits me, right? And I'm only speaking to me right now because of your questions that you're asking me and, like, where my thought process has been. But let's not negate the fact of you're a fucking gem to be, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're a huge piece. Yeah, you're just that guy sailing the boat, and I'm just whatever the fuck I'm doing. But, no, man, but it's important to realize, like, you do stand, you know, like, those things matter to me. But, yeah, for a little while, man, I lost who I was in pursuit of who I wanted to be. And I think everybody imagined, like, when I was going into real estate, when I finally decided to pull the trigger on it, Kate bought my school, I'm doing the broker thing, cool. But then you start looking up brokers. You start looking up, like, okay, what's that world? And what am I going to be? And, like, yeah, you gravitate to ties or to a certain car or, okay, you know, like.
Yeah.
And some things that works. Like, we got friends, man, that wear suits and ties in real estate, and they own it and they love it, and that's genuinely them. Yep. So that's okay. I'm not saying don't wear a suit. It just wasn't me, right? And it was like I had to figure out how to be me in this world. But again, it's, man, I can't say it enough. I think it happens to everybody. You kind of lose who you are chasing what you want to be. And it's that's not a good recipe. And if maybe you don't know who you want to be, okay, there's an argument. What do you stand for? Integrity, hard work, honesty, transparency, commitment. You find out what your just core values are, and you apply them. So as you're learning who you want to be, because you're young or you're new to something, you've never really, well, I've never been a cop, I've never had a badge, I've never been a Marine. What the fuck are you talking about? I get it. Those got instilled in me young when I decided to go. You can still instill them in yourself by listening to this podcast, listening to other people you look up to, but then figuring out, hey, what are my core values? Stop worrying about your business model. What are my core values? How do I want to represent myself toward others? And then as I go out into this business world and I'm learning that, I will not sacrifice these. Mm-hmm. Anything that makes me sacrifice these is not a good deal. It's not a good person or relationship for me. And I start there.
You know what those are right there? Those are anchors, bro. Fitness is an anchor. Family is an anchor. Your core values are anchors.
Yeah.
And when shit is going crazy, when the wind is going all over the fucking place, like you mentioned, man, drop a fucking anchor, right? I know for you, when you were in that pantry, fitness was huge. You anchored yourself every fucking day.
Yep.
Right? And it's like, man, find out what those anchors are. And maybe you don't have any. Maybe you're thinking, what are my core values? Maybe you haven't even given a fucking thought about what your core values are. You need to develop some anchors in your life.
Yeah.
For me, the go-to is always fitness, guys. If you can get that fitness aspect down, I don't think you can change the mental without changing the physical first. And on top of that, the physical is so much easier to change than the mental. The mental will come if you change the physical. But if you guys are at a point where maybe you're a young kid, maybe you're 17 or 18, or fuck, maybe you're 40 and you've just not been a free thinker. Maybe you've had a boss your entire life and you're trying to get in this entrepreneur space and you haven't had to develop those anchors, man. You've got to take a step back and figure out what those are in your life.
Well, yeah. And don't be out there talking about commitment and hard work and self-respect and integrity if you can't take care of yourself. And I knew, man, like, I had to leave my family. You know, a lot of people were trusting, were betting on me to win. I can't let them down, mm-hmm. You know. But you're right, man. Like, every day I got up in the morning, I went to the gym. I came back. I studied for 8-9 hours a day to just get that broker's license done. And then at night I would drive Lyft to just make a buck, mm-hmm. just to feel like I had a little bit of value. My family didn't need it. You know, like, that Kate has a job. She's fine. It just gave me something to bring to the table that showed my commitment to just wanting to be better. And those things better. But you're right, man. I like how you process that as far as, like, anchors. You know, like, if that storm, if you're ever out at sea and you're sailing like we're talking about, and a storm gets so bad, right, and you can't see your way through that storm, right, like, I know you can't. Literally, you can't anchor yourself, right, in that storm. Literally, if you're out there sailing, I'm not a sail guy. You're on your own.
You probably shouldn't drop it.
In life, in life, guess what? Here's what's really cool. In life, you're ever in the middle of that storm, and you can't see your way through it, drop an anchor.
Yep.
How's my sleep? How's my fitness? How's my water? How's my diet? Who's around me? Mm-hmm. Just check yourself. Just check yourself, right? And, like, get to the gym. Get your emotion, get your anger, get your stress out of you. Sometimes when you can't process it emotionally because your emotions are way out of whack, physically put yourself through something that will force it out of you. Mm-hmm. And it's something that you can take control of that sets you up for controlling your day, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever that fitness looks like for you, do so. Maybe it's yoga and maybe it's not. Maybe you love yoga, but you know what? You need to turn on some Metallica and go throw some weights around. Do it.
Yep.
Do it, but realize fundamentally, man, the storm is big, or you're going back to shore. Okay, hey, if you're going back to shore, collect all of your anchors and make sure you have everything before you set out for sail.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was doing. I was just doing what I had to do to make sure I was successful. But, oh, man, and the better you are with yourself and understanding those, the more you see it in the business world, the more you see it with the relationships in front of you, and you're going to navigate good relationships. And when something's not quite in tune with your values or what you're going for, man, you're okay to just sail past that. You know, but then when there are opportunities, you're okay to go off course a little bit and dive down something because, hey, that opportunity is it's worth its weight in gold.
Yeah, and man, all of that is so imperative to have, again, just that self-awareness aspect, because if you don't have that, there's a lot of fucking things that look like opportunities out there.
Yep.
That are just merely distractions.
And again, oh man, I can't express this enough. If people have grand ideas for you, they want to collab, like, but they don't know what you're up to and what you're doing. Sounds like they're advising you. Sounds like they're in this place of like they know better or what's better for you than you know for yourself. Like you'd really have to be careful, you know, and like even the relationships I've had. Dan Cirillo, he wasn't nice to me overnight. Mm-hmm. He wasn't mean to me. Maybe some of you would have thought it was mean. I come from that world, right? I come from Marine Corps infantry world, right? I'm not even talking SOCOM. I'm talking infantry world. Like it's, hey, you got thick skin. Dan wasn't mean to me, but he wasn't nice. He was feeling me out and just making sure that like my priorities were in tune with what his were. Because, yeah, they offered us to collab. But then when I took initiative to go to Vegas and want to really take it to the next level and be involved, cool. He still had to check his six on me. And, yeah, he knew me from a friend. So he still needs to vouch for me. And that's just him having his priorities and his values in line with himself.
100%.
And the fact that I knew what he was doing, hey, man, my priorities and my values are in tune. And I've got integrity. And I'm okay that we go through that process. And, oh, man, I talked to that guy on FaceTime or we hit each other up. It's just awesome.
Yeah.
And it's earned.
Yeah.
But it's awesome. And, you know, same thing with Tosh, man. I've known that guy forever. But once I got back out to Colorado and, you know, he's out here as well. And I wanted to just continue that relationship outside of the Marine Corps with him. It took time to build that. And I'm sure he was making sure that I was a good dude and my mm-hmm. priorities were genuine. And if they are, you don't care if people take time letting you in a little bit more. Who cares? Because you should be checking yours as well, mm-hmm. you know. But there are people out there, man, that got grand ideas or that want to collaborate or do things with you, and they're not in tune. You're a pawn in their game. And if you let it, it's on you. But you got to realize, you know, and like for me, like am I a pawn in anyone else's game? Like, no, but am I a contributor? Yeah, I have a value add or a role when we're teaming up together for Spartan 7 Adventures. I'm not a pawn, but I have a role. But it's mutual and it's out in the open. We talk about it, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
but if people have these grand ideas and like, hey, you should come here and do this, it's like, you're pawning me. Be careful.
Yeah. You know? And if you don't have any anchors, if you don't have any sails, if you don't know how to navigate your own ship, mm-hmm. that's very tempting.
Yeah.
You know?
And if you're unknown, if like some of these things we're talking about today, you're just like, a lot of it is like ding, 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 ding in your head right now. Yeah. Hey, 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 drop an anchor. Right? Grab some land, drop an anchor, and just get back to your fundamentals, whatever those are. But like for me, it's fitness, it's sleep, it's getting adequate water in me, it's cleaning up my diet a little bit, and it's checking my relationships. And it's huge. So just go back to that and just get your bearing. Make sure everything's good to go. Make sure you're in a good spot. But I love navigating and finding and creating opportunities along the way that make this trip
yeah.
so much more worth living than motorboating to however many deals I feel like I should do.
Oh, God. Guys, I can't tell you how liberating it is. From a motorboat guy for a long time, switching over to sailboat, it's not an easy transition. You know, there's a lot of times where a lot of self-doubt pops in mind because, man, to trust nature to get you to where you want to go takes a lot of faith. And if you haven't had a lot of practice with faith, it can be difficult. You
huge.
Know, yeah, it can be difficult. So it feels good, man, to be on the sailboat now.
Work on yours. And here's the deal. Like, let's just leave this. And I'm not a sail guy, so I don't want to step out of my lane here. But I'm assuming there's a lot of maintenance. There's a lot of knowledge. There's a lot of proficiency sailing versus what you have to do if you've got a motor on a boat, right? So correlate that to your life as well. Right? Like, if you're diving into a new profession or real estate, whatever that is, and or just getting bearing on yourself, like, be in tune with yourself. right? And your core values and your integrity and like what you want to have, and establish that and don't waver, right? But then you've also got to make sure you're super proficient and professional at your job. You have no business going out there and trying to get a ton of people and whatever it may be if you're not adequate or at least have resources to help you, and you have the capacity to learn and absorb and execute a certain level of proficiency, right? Like, make sure those things are in tune before you hit those waters, because they're rough. They're rough.
They are.
Right? So just make sure you're doing a good job. And again, guys, hit us up on Instagram if you like, Will_Grimes. I love interacting with our audience and answering questions or just collaborating as just storytelling and life and opportunities that you guys share sometimes with us and just telling us what you guys are up to. It's so cool to hear that stuff. So please, if you guys have anything, reach out. Let's have that conversation and have some fun with it. And if I don't get back to you right away, apologize, but usually within 24 hours I can get to you. But man, for today, I feel like that's all we got.
I think that's it, guys. So again, appreciate you listening to the Day One Dollar Zero podcast. iTunes,
Spotify,
Google Play, YouTube, Facebook, anywhere you can watch or listen to anything, we are most likely there. Guys, if you found any value in this episode, share it with somebody, tell them about it, shoot it to them over DM, or leave us a review, guys. Again, we're growing. Every little bit helps, every listener helps and goes a long way for us. We appreciate you.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll see you guys next time.
Out. Completed, switch it.